Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody, and thanks be to God that we are able to open up another study, and we ask God to be with us during this study and cause us to excite not only ourselves, but everyone else that is listening to this broadcast. Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode, I am excited still because tonight we are still engaged in the study of the book of Psalms. And you know, this is what I consider will expose us to the most beautiful verses that are written in our Bible. And it is worthy to note that King David did not write all of the Psalms. In fact, he only wrote approximately 74 or 75 of the 150 that are in our Bible. One, Psalms 137, there is no identification of who wrote that particular psalm. And 12 were written by Asaph. Two were ascribed, if not written by Solomon. One was written by Moses. One was written by Ethan. And 12 were written by the sons of Korah. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops or tablets or Bible apps or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, which I like to consider it, which you may at that time ask questions or comment or inquire if you like, for the host has set up a chat room that you can go into and ask those questions immediately upon their coming to mind. Now, before we get started, I want to personally thank all of you who are listening out there for taking the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. I thank you for them so very much. As the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Now, God said through Isaiah the prophet, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no one else. That's taken from Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. The promise is that you will be saved if you look unto Jehovah God, which includes his son, Jesus the Christ, and includes his spirit, the Holy Ghost. God said again, through this time, King David, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scoffers. That's taken from Psalms 1, verse 1. And this is the promise. We're going to have good fortune. We're going to benefit. We're going to get a blessing if we don't stand in the way of sinners. We don't walk with the ungodly, nor sit with those who are scornful. God said again through King David, cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's taken from Psalms 55, verse 22. And again, the promise is that you will be sustained by the Lord God Almighty if you but cast your burdens upon him. Now, the question again to you this hour, my precious brothers and sisters, are you standing on the promises? Now, before we get to the study, I want to, as I always do, give you this understanding that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries or secrets, parables, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, riddles, and symbols. And the only way that you can break this code, my precious brothers and sisters, is through study and learning. And that's what we are about this evening, study and to learn. Now let's go to the study. Turn with me to Psalms 139. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 13 in Psalms 139. And as I read the text to you, what I want you to keep in mind, my precious brothers and sisters, is that this is the instruction. Our lives are open books to God. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? Our lives are open books to God. For God has created us, especially in his own image and likeness. So do you not think that he has not written every chapter and verse and details of our existence? Now, this is what David, King David, shared with Israel concerning that. And this is what Psalms 139, verse 1 through 13 says. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Okay? Thou knowest my down city and my uprising, because he's created us. Thou understandest my thoughts from afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. God orders our steps, my brothers and sisters, for there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. God has even constructed what I'm saying to you right now, and what you say to others as you say it. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Thou hast my beginning and my ending already in place before my physical inception. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. If we knew what would happen to us next week, we may not want to survive until then. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take wings of a morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. What Solomon is telling, or what King David is telling Israel, is that God is all in all. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. It's no way in the world to get around God. And we go to verse 16, and it culminates the thought by saying, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfected. And in my book all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Remember what he told the prophet Jeremiah? He told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1 verse 10 or Jeremiah 1 verse 5. He told Jeremiah that before he was formed in his mother's belly, that God knew him and had already ordained for him to be who he was going to be, a prophet. Okay, now before we continue, let's go to our first break.
Israel, also called Jacob, said to Joseph, the one he never thought he'd see again, the dream that he thought had died, the thing that he thought was over. What is your Joseph? What is the thing that you have given up on in your life and you've said the story is over and this is the way it's going to be and I'm just always going to just struggle with this and I'm always going to deal with this and I'm never going to get over this and I'm never going to get victory and I'm going to sing the words to the song but I don't really mean them or believe them anymore because I'm just going through the motions and I'm just going through this. What is your Joseph? Now watch this. Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face again and now God has allowed me to see your children too. He's the God of the plot twist. Not only did he let him see Joseph, but he used everything that Joseph had been through to save the whole family. Because he's the God of the plot twist. Not only did he minister to the woman, he sent the woman to go get the whole town. Plot twist. He skipped a meal, but he reaped the harvest. God is the God of the plot twist. Now, who is this for? If this is for you, just tell me right now. Say, this is for me. This is for me. This is for me. This is bread from heaven for me. God said to tell you that there's a plot twist happening in your life right now. He said to tell you that the things about you that you don't like, he's going to leverage them for greater grace to be released in your life. And I speak by the Spirit of the Lord into your life. He is turning things around right now. And you will see Joseph again. And you will see provision again. And you will have joy again. And you will dance again. And you will shout again. And you will go to the house of God again. And you will rise again. And you will breathe again. And you will sing again. Thought I'd never see you again. Israel said to Joseph, it was the plot of ground that Jacob gave to Joseph. Never thought it would happen, but it did. God said, get ready for unexpected blessings in unlikely places. Through weakness, he is strong. In your crushing, oil comes forth.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers, we're going to continue with instruction number 217, which is our lives are open books to God. And we already know how King David rehearsed it to Israel. And now we're going to look at our comparison and agreement text. We're going to go into the New Testament and see how it compares and agrees with this instruction. Our lives are open books to God. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 2, turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And this is what the Hebrew writer said about that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There it is, my brothers and sisters, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, he also elaborates on this wise. This is what the Hebrew writer says. The Hebrew writer says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all are naked and open unto the eyes of whom we have to do. And that is telling us, my brothers and sisters, that God knows all. Remember, I mentioned before the break that he is omniscient. Okay, and then let us go also to Ephesians, and Ephesians is also going to give us a glimpse of what Paul himself had to say about this, and it's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And this is what Paul told the Ephesians, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So God had already preordained that we would be who we are and we would act as we do. Okay, now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the book of life contains all of our lives' activities from birth through death and all in between, which was written from the foundation of the world. I'm going to read that again, my brothers and sisters. This is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, meaning that our lives are an open book to God because that the book of life contains all of our lives' activities from birth through death. That's all our chapters and verses in the book of life and all in between. That's the chapters and verses, which was written from the foundation of the world. That's what I want you to understand from this instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction 218. We're going to go back to Psalms 139 this time, and we're going to look at verse 14 through 16. Still in Psalms 139, we're going to look at verse 14 through 16, and this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. This is the instruction. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. That means out of all of God's creation, including the angelic host, we are the ones that are fearfully and wonderfully made, more especially because of our physicality. God has given us not only dominion, but we have responsibility for all that he has created to subdue, as he said in chapter 1 of Genesis. Now, this is what Solomon rehearsed to Israel concerning that. In Psalms 139, verse 14 through 16, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. That's because we're made in the image and likeness of God. It is marvelous. Jesus said at one point in his Gospels, he said, this is God's doing, and it is marvelous in my eyes. Now let's go to verse 15. Says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Remember I told you what he said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1, verse 5, that he said that he, before Jeremiah was even thought of, he knew him. Wow. My brothers and sisters, before we existed, we were already in God's mind. He had already discerned for us who we would become and what we were to do. And we are doing just that, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, remember what Solomon said about that, when the judgment comes, that every work will come under judgment with everything that was done, good or evil, and we will be subjected to that. Okay, now let's go. And in fact, I want to let's read verse 16 for the conclusion of that. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfected, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance, that is continuing with that verse, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Again, that is telling us that God is the one that wrote this in his book of life and in our book of life. Now, to add some credence to this, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Turn your Bible sources with me to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 26. And this is why I was telling you in leading up to this instruction how critical we are in God's eyes because we're made in his image and likeness. Listen to what God identified in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, there it is. Now let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to look at John chapter 3, verse 16, and we're going to see how this applies today in comparing and agreeing. This is what Jesus said, the reason why. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, for God so loved the world, meaning we who are made in his image and likeness, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We are made for everlasting life, my brothers and sisters. The mistake was made by our forefathers, Adam, and by his wife Eve, when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that cursed us. But everlasting life is God's intent for us, and he became flesh. He became Jesus Christ to dwell among us, to show us the way. Remember, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light, I am the life. Okay, now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that before sin, spiritually and physically, we had dominion over God's creation, but now we don't. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? Before sin, we had both spiritually and physically, and I read it to you in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. But after sin, we lost it, and that's what I want you to understand from this particular instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Back to Psalms 140 this time. We're going to look at Psalms 140. We're going to be reading from verses 1 through 6. Psalms 140, verses 1 through 6. And what I want to do is take another break before we go into the details.
Because of what happened in a moment, somebody got in the way. That's a moment. You've been stuck for 38 years. Because of what somebody did in a moment, you let a moment leave you stuck for 38 years. You let what somebody did when you was 12 leave you stuck for 38 years. You mean the 38 years of your life has been restricted because of some other human being who got in the fight line of what you were trying to do in the kingdom? And don't you understand that you punished them with your palsy? How do you think your being stuck is punishing who got in your way? It's not like they've been by the pool for 38 years. You've been by the pool for 38 years because of them. He went on with his life. She went on with their life. They went on and got married again. They went on and started another ministry. They're singing in the choir. And you have been stuck for 38 years. Stuck in the stumbling place. I'm fixing to. I'm better than I was. I'm working on me. Leave me alone. I'm not there yet. There's a reason I'm hurting like this. I don't trust anybody. I don't love anybody. I don't open up to anybody. I'm stuck for 38 years. Leave me alone. I'm here because somebody got in my way when I was trying to get out of this situation. And you've been locked up for 38 years? Who is worth it that you would give them 38 years? That's what I want to know. Who is worth 38 years of your life? I don't care what they did. I don't care who they did it with. Who is worth you being stuck staring and stumbling for 38 years? You could have changed the world. You could have built a house. You could have started a career. You could have opened a business. You could have had a life. You could have recorded an album. You could have written a book. You could have done anything. But you've been stuck, staring, and stumbling.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, onward and forward. Let's look at instruction number 219. We're going to read from Psalms 140. We're going to look at verse 1 through 6. And as I read the text to you, please keep in mind that this is the instruction. Consider this prayer of deliverance. Now, there are so many prayers of deliverance. And the simplest one that I can think of is, save me, Lord. And you or anyone else can say it differently. Help me, Lord. Keep me, Lord. All these different ways are prayers of deliverance. But this particular one is from Psalms 140, verse 1 through 6. And this is what David is sharing with Israel. And this is what he says. Deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagines mischief in their hearts. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent's ardor. Poison is under their lips, Selah. And Selah means to pause for a minute and think about it and consider it. And we know that when we are in personality conflicts, that's exactly what happens. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my gatherings. Again, if you are in the presence of them, like Paul says, what fellowship has light with darkness? What communion has righteousness with unrighteousness? Paul says, be not unequally yoked. So this is telling us that. And verse 4 says, keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who has purposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net for the by the wayside. They have set gins for me, Selah. Everything involved in the knowledge of good and evil is set up to slay man. That is what we use primarily as our thought process until we understand that everlasting life is the knowledge that we should implement. We are under the pain of sin. That comes from the knowledge of good and evil, my brothers and sisters. That's the tree that was eaten from to give us that. And then verse 6 says, I said unto the Lord, thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. So God is asking us, and we know Paul supports it, that we should pray without ceasing. You know, by any means, we do not give credence or we do not lack, but by prayer, asking with thanksgiving and supplication. That's what Paul teaches us. Okay, let's go to the New Testament complement. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to see how Jesus has taught us to deal with this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and verse 13, two verses, and Jesus culminates this. Jesus told his apostles that they should go in the closet when they pray, and asking the Father for this specifically, because Jesus says, when you pray, this is how you should pray. And verse 9 of chapter 6 says this, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Jesus says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, giving thanks, reaching out with supplication to God. And he concludes with verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and the glory forever. Amen. And we can see that that is where we get into trouble. Vanity. That's the temptation. My brothers and sisters, when we open our eyes, that's what we're looking at. Vanity. And that is what gets us into trouble with temptation. And we should understand that. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that praying, which is our personal conversation with God, should be constant. And if we listen to God's guidance, then we will be delivered. And we should hear what God is telling us. If not audibly, we should hear it visibly by looking at the Word of God. B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, the Bible, and that will give us our understanding. That's what I want you to get from this instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Psalms 141 this time. We're going to look at verse 1 through 5 and several other Psalms we're going to look at concerning this instruction. And I want you to keep in mind this instruction as I read the verses to you. Cry like this unto the Lord God. Remember, we just read where Jesus taught us how to pray. And so that prayer could be our cry. And this is how King David rehearsed it to Israel in Psalms 141, verse 1 through 5. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. That's supplicating. That's what he's doing. He's pleading with God to listen to him. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as an incense, and the lifting up of my hands as everlasting sacrifice. We must do this continually, not slacking. And if we are constantly in prayer, we will be given direction on how to impact God with our prayer. The Spirit will show us the way. Verse 3 says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips, constantly edifying, constantly admonishing, constantly asking and crying out for thee. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. I don't listen to what men are telling me about my personal relationship with God. They can share with me their relationship with God, but mine is personal. Remember earlier I mentioned that God has already preordained what we are to become, and it's between he and I, between you and him. And that's where you should be working and following and going towards. Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. It is a personal relationship. This is what Paul is talking about, King David is talking about. He continues again in Psalms 142 when he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my troubles. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knowest my path. And the way wherein I walked have they prevalently laid a snare for me. Men will war against men. In fact, it's not men you have to worry about, because Paul told us in his Ephesian letter to the Ephesians, it's not flesh and blood that we deal with. It's spiritual wickedness at high places. That is what gets us in trouble. Verse 4 says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man carried my soul. And we know from this again, is that we are in it between God and I, you and God. That is where you get your supplication. I cried unto thee, O Lord, and said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of my living. Remember, we just said that God says that the afflictions of the righteous are many, but he will deliver them out of them all. And he said, cast your burdens upon me, for I will not let the righteous perish. That is so significant. And then verse 6 says, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I am. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. And now I see that we're at the break, and so we'll continue and complete this instruction after the break.
The shortcut is a lie. The hack doesn't get you there. And if you want to take the easy road, it won't take you to where you want to be. To reach goals and overcome obstacles and be the best version of you possible will not happen by itself. It will not happen cutting corners, taking shortcuts, or looking for the easy way. There is no easy way. There is only hard work, late nights, early mornings, practice, rehearsal, repetition, study, sweat, blood, toil, frustration, and discipline. Discipline, the root of all good qualities, the driver of daily execution. Discipline defeats the infinite excuses that say, not today, not now, I need a rest, I'll do it tomorrow. There is only one way, the way of discipline.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's complete instruction number 220. We've already read where David taught Israel how to cry like this unto the Lord God. And in Psalms 143, verse 1, this completes his thought when he says, hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and thy righteousness, meaning we have to be consistent, we have to be constant. There was a parable that Jesus gave us about the magistrate and the widow, where the magistrate feared no man and could care less about God, and he had all control and rule over all that was under his dominion. But yet this widow kept pestering him and pestering him and pestering him until he gave in. And that's what we're supposed to do with God, just like what Jacob did when he wrestled with the angel in the desert. He did not let the angel go until he got his blessing. That is how we should cry unto the Lord constantly. And now let's go to Luke chapter 17, and we're going to see how Jesus puts it in comparing and agreeing. In verse 5 and verse 10, we're going to see how Luke, or Jesus says it in Luke chapter 17. And it says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. So they are asking how to cry out to the Lord to increase faith. And this is what Jesus told them in verse 10. So likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded of you, listen, my brothers and sisters, everything that is commanded of you. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we have to keep on seeking. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. Ask, and ye shall receive. We must continually do that. And then Jesus said, cry out to the Lord and say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. So that is what Jesus tells us how to accomplish that cry unto the Lord. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we should and must communicate with God, not only with words, but through praying and singing, but also with actions, by doing and serving our fellow man. We must walk the talk, my brothers and sisters, in thought, word, and deed. Paul gives that instruction to in one of his letters. Whatever we do in thought, word, and deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Okay, now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction 221. We're back at Psalms 143, and we're looking at a verse 5 through 12, verse 5 through 12 in Psalms 143. And this is what the instruction I want you to keep in mind. In fact, this is pretty straightforward. The instruction is, remember this. The instruction I want you to get from this reading, remember this. And this is what David, King David, told Israel. I remembered the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hand. Remember this now. I stretch forth my hands unto thee, and my soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. And remember again, I mentioned Selah means to pause for a minute, consider it, think about it. And this is what we should be constantly remembering. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Remember this, my precious brothers and sisters. This is what David is telling Israel. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee and hide, so hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for my name, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. That is so powerful to remember. Ask God just for righteousness' sake to save me. Amen. And verse 12 concludes the thought by saying, and of thy mercy cut off my enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. So in the end, David, not being yet under the New Testament providence of Jesus Christ, has asked the Lord to destroy his enemies. But of course, we know today that we are to love our enemies because Jesus gave us that provision. Now let's go to our New Testament complement. We're going to turn to the book of Revelations, and this is where it compares and agrees. And this is how, this is what we should remember today, my brothers and sisters. This is the end of our canon, the book of Revelations, our book of life, you might say, the Alpha and the Omega. This is what we should be doing. This is what the Spirit says to the church to do. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 says, listen, nevertheless, I have something against thee. Remember this, my brothers and sisters. This is what God has against us, because thou hast left thy first love. That is our problem. The Spirit says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place. So that is what we are told to do. We must remember from whence we are fallen and repent and do the first works. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we will be successful. And then we're going to go to Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 2 and verse 3. And again, this is what the Spirit says to the church. Be watchful also, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee like a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. You want to secure your place in line to transition into heaven? What did the Spirit say to the church? Remember this, my brothers and sisters. Therefore, how thou hast received and heard, you're listening, you're receiving it, hope you're hearing it, hold fast and repent. You've got to repent. If therefore you don't, watch as you are told to do. Jesus will come upon you like a thief in the night, and you will not know the hour in which he shall come upon you. Okay, now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must work out our own soul salvations in spirit and in truth. It is so critical, my precious brothers and sisters. You cannot work out your own soul salvation for your wife. You cannot work out your own soul salvation for your baby girl. You cannot work out your own soul salvation for your good friend. You can only do it for yourself, and that is what you must do. All right, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction 222. We're going to go back to Psalms 144. We're going to look at verse 1, 2, and 15. And out of this, we're going to, as I read it to you, look and listen for this instruction. This is the instruction I want you to pay attention to. Blessed be the Lord my strength, my God. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? The benefit, the welfare, the good fortune, the gift is the blessing and the strength of the Lord. And this is what David rehearsed to Israel in 144. This is what David rehearsed. He said, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. As long as you keep my commandments, he was talking to Joshua, I will take care of you. And that's what this is telling us. My goodness my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Again, David is saying, God is my all in all. He completes the thought with this. Happy is that people that is in such case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. If you recognize God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, you're going to be okay, my precious brothers and sisters. Okay, now let's go to the New Testament compliment, and let's see what the Philippians writer, what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says. Chapter 4, verse 13. This is how Paul tells us to do it today. Listen, my brothers and sisters, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Jesus told us that all power has been given to him in heaven and in earth by God over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as he will. My brothers and sisters, that is your blessing. It's through Jesus Christ is your strength. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that without the indwelling, meaning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost abiding with us, we are powerless against the knowledge of good and evil. Wow. And the devil. That's what I want you to get from this reading, my brothers and sisters. Now let's take our last break of the evening.
For somebody going through tough times, for somebody struggling just to keep your head above water, you're trying, but things don't seem to be quite working out the way you planned. You thought you'd be in a different place at this season in your life, but you're still suffering. You have no say-so in what happens to you, but you have a say-so in what you do about it. You have a determining voice into where your life can go. See, life is 10% what happens to you. It's 90% what you do about it. You get a setback. You get thrown off course. You lost your mama. That's dirt. But show me something that has grown into something beautiful that didn't have no dirt on it. You need dirt on you to develop, because dirt ain't just dirt. Dirt is fertilizer. Dirt is nutrient. Dirt gives you the strength for your seed to push through. You gotta have dirt on you to push through something. Everything you see that's beautiful starts out as a seed, but that seed got to get dirt on it. You got to have dirt on you to grow into what life got for you.
The only thing I want from you is that every single day, when uncertainty creeps in, I need you to get up and I need you to go heavy on it. In the midst of opposition, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of adversity, when you taste a little bit of blood and something happens that you didn't expect to happen, I need you to go heavy on it.
You gotta be willing to go after your makeup. You gotta be willing to go after whatever has got your name on it. Sometimes you gotta fight your way over. Sometimes you gotta fight your way through. Sometimes you gotta look in the mirror and say, listen, I ain't got nobody else to encourage us right now. It's just me and you. But I'm telling you, you're the head and not the tail. And I'm fighting for me, or my house, or my children, or my brothers, or my sister, or my husband, or my vision, or my dream. I'm gonna stand right here, and I ain't giving up my children. I'm not giving up my money. No, stand. You can't keep quitting your whole life. You can't keep backing up, and you can't keep fainting, taking 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. After a while, there ought to be something in our life that we stand through. Sicknesses that you stood through. Struggles that you stood through. Weaknesses that you stood through. Crises that you stood through. Pressures that you stood through. That is where character is developed. That's what defines our destiny. When you are in the middle of transition.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us look at instruction number 223. And we're going to go back to Psalms 144. And we're going to look at verse 3 and 4, what David rehearsed to Israel. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the two verses to you. What is a man or the son of man? Now, that is considered in grammatical terms as a rhetorical question. And a rhetorical question is a statement not to make a question or to answer a question, but to state a fact. That is what is being done here when David says, what is a man or the son of man? Now, this is what Psalms 144, verse 3 and 4 says, and David is talking to Israel. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? And we know the fact. David was not saying that as asking a question, but he was stating a fact to Israel. He already knew that God has made man in his own image and likeness. We read it earlier. And he has given man dominion over all of his works, his physical works, and that he should subdue it. But what happened was man fell short of the glory of God. And we know that the Son of Man here is Jesus Christ, meaning God made flesh and dwelt among us, and that the Son of Man is God himself. So the significance here is that we know that man is special. And because man is so special, that God himself has come to redeem man, if you will. And this is what the New Testament has to say, comparing and agreeing. This is what Paul taught the Colossians. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17. And this is what Paul taught the Colossians about this. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Who is? God is. Jesus Christ is. Again, the image and likeness of God. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, invisible and visible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Now, I quickly would like to share with you my understanding of thrones, dominions, principality, and powers. Those are three categories of angels. Now, you know you've heard of the archangel, and you've heard of seraphims and cherubims as categories of angels, then these, I believe, are also what is being taught by Paul, meaning that all were created by Jesus Christ when he said, for by him were all things created. We know in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and there was not anything made that was not made by him. So we can see the significance there. And verse 17 concludes by saying, and this is what Paul is telling the Colossians, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So God is all in all. We know that Paul mentioned it in 1 Corinthians, I think chapter 15, when he said that God will put all things up under the feet of Jesus Christ. And once Jesus Christ has all of this control and power, he will turn everything over back to God. He didn't say that in those words that I'm sharing with you, but it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we know that God is all in all, and that his tabernacle is going to be with mankind. So that's what's significant, my brothers and sisters. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God loves what he has created so much, especially humanity, that after the fall of man, he became flesh, meaning a man, to show us the way back to him and bring us back to him. And we know that Jesus again tells us, and Jesus is God made flesh to dwell among us. Jesus tells us in John chapter 14 that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light, I am the life. And so that tells us, again, we read it earlier, John chapter 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe it in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So all of this is what I want you to take from this particular instruction. What is a man or the son of man? This is what it is, that God loves us so much that he create, especially humanity, that he sent his son. He became flesh to show us the way back to him and to bring us to him. That is so significant, and that's what I want you to understand in this particular instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 224, and we're going to go back to Psalms 145. Back to Psalms 145. Okay, we're going to turn back to Psalms 145, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 7, Psalms 145, verse 1 through 7. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verses to you. This is the instruction. This is how you can please the Lord God. My brothers and sisters, there are so many ways to please the Lord God. All right? The Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, tells you that you pray to please the Lord God, that you fast to please the Lord God, that you worship and praise God to please God, that you watch for God, that you fear the Lord God. There are just so many different ways of pleasing God. But this is what David rehearsed to Israel. Verse 1 through 7, 145 is the psalm, and this is what it says. I will extol thee, my God, as praising him, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. That is part of what we are required to do in the Great Commission, to go out into all the world and to share the word of God with as many as we meet and greet. Verse 5 says, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And man shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. We are supposed to admonish and to edify. We are supposed to teach and preach. We are supposed to witness and testify. Those are, again, ways of praising the Lord God. And verse 7 says, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy greatness and shall sing of thy righteousness. And in telling the story, we are committing ourselves to that. Now let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And here's the Paul told the Philippians today how we do that with God. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That is what we should be doing today, my brothers and sisters. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that whatever we do in thought, word, and deed, we should do all in the name of the Lord and praise the Lord. And that is the concluding thought for our lesson this evening. Now, this completes it. And as we are about to sign off, the host and I want to Thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement tonight. Good night.
Joining us for basic instructions before leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for basic instructions before leaving Earth. Good night.